2 Peter 2. And then you can do two things at one time. Turn to Jonah chapter 2. 2 Peter 2 and Jonah chapter 2. 2 Peter 2 and Jonah chapter 2. Now, we're going to go over to Jonah in a little bit, but keep 2 Peter because we're going to finish up in 2 Peter. So, 2 Peter to start, go to Jonah, finish in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Very simply, I'd like to focus this morning on the first phrase of chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how. Henry Ford knew how to perfect the assembly line. Orville and Wilbur Wright knew how to put men in the air. Thomas Edison knew how to get things out of electricity no one ever dreamed of. Some have great know-how in plumbing, some in electrical, some in painting, some in auto mechanics, some in technology. Few can do everything. But the Lord is never at a loss to do what needs to be done. The Lord knows how to create something out of nothing. Took Him 6 days. The only problem I have is why it took Him so long. He could have done it like that, right? He could have done it, but He took 6 days. Not 6 billion years, 6 days. Something out of nothing. Because primetime TV is so bad, cooking shows have gotten popular. And today we're going to look at a new dessert creation. They started with sugar, flour, milk. They didn't create something out of nothing. It really wasn't a creation. Our God can create something out of nothing. Have you run out of love for people? No problem. He can create something out of nothing. Run out of patience? Amen. Amen. He can create something out of nothing. Sometimes a husband and wife will come in and say, Pastor, we're having trouble. Can we talk? Okay, come in and talk. And they'll talk and they'll be grumbling. And the husband will say, there's just nothing there anymore. It's not a problem for God. Amen? He can create something out of nothing. So no excuses. No excuses. The Lord knows how to create something out of nothing. The Lord knows how to bless a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sins a reproach to any people. God knew how to bless America. Were our founding fathers mostly saved men? Doubt if Benjamin Franklin was, doubt if Thomas Jefferson was, George Washington. They talked a lot about God's providence. They didn't talk a lot about Jesus' death on the cross is the payment for their sin. Now, Noah Webster was a born-again believer. He was the real deal. Now, it wasn't Daniel, it was Noah that did the dictionary. You know that, right? It wasn't Daniel, it was Noah that did the dictionary. And Noah, you want to talk about somebody that'll, whoa, was he a godly man. Patrick Henry represented as an attorney Baptist preachers who were under persecution by the state churches back in those days. Virginia had a state church. They didn't like Baptists. If you were in Virginia, and Patrick Henry, I think his will, if you ever get a chance to read Patrick Henry's will, whoa, he honored Jesus Christ in the will. Now, we're going back to school. Well, not we, I'm glad I'm not, but some of you guys are going back to school. Wouldn't it be interesting if we knew a textbook that Benjamin Franklin used and John Adams used and George Washington used, Thomas Jefferson? Wouldn't it be interesting if we knew a textbook that they used? We do. It's called the New England Primer. It was the equivalent of a first grade reader. Do you want to know how Benjamin Franklin learned to read? I'm glad you came today. You're going to learn. Okay. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. B. Heaven to find, the Bible mind. C. Christ crucified for sinners died. D. The deluge, the flood. drowned the earth around. E, Elijah hid, the ravens fed. F, the judgment made Felix afraid. That's how Benjamin Franklin learned his ABCs. Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, the whole bunch. Now, you know, in school, review is important. So we got to review our ABCs. Okay? A, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. B, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. C, come unto Christ, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. D, do not the abominable thing which I hate, saith the Lord. E, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And F, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. On and on and on and on. Even if those guys weren't saved, still they had the truths of Scripture deep down in their heart, and they talked about God's providence. God, George Washington talked about God's providence in winning battles they shouldn't have won. So there was righteousness, okay, maybe not the new birth infant, but godly principles were there. And so it's no wonder that God blessed America. The Lord knows how to bless a nation. The Lord knows how to solve the sin problem. The world focuses on economic problems. Every presidential campaign, we've got to do better with the economy. We can get the economy down to 0.0003 unemployment, and God will still judge America if we don't repent. Oh, the economy. Or the environment. There are a lot of people that think climate change is a bigger issue than Islamic terrorism. And these are PhDs. The greatest problem is not the environment and it's not the economy. The greatest problem is the sin problem. And God is the only one that knows how to solve the sin problem. We had a man in our church who had served in Guam as a missionary. He'd been in Vietnam, wounded in Vietnam, recovered in Guam at the hospital. Came back to America, was saved, burdened for the Guamanians, went back. And he did an illustration. He would, when he would preach, and he would actually do this illustration in funerals, at funerals, and it was very graphic, and I won't do it exactly because he had people act it out. But here's what he did. He would take a person, set him over here. He'd take another person and set them up there. And he'd take another person and set them back here. Three men. The first man, he would cover him with a coat. He would cover him with a coat. And he would say, this man's the sinner. This man is God the Father. And this is Jesus over here. What did God do at the gospel? He laid on him the iniquity of us all. So he would take the coat off this man and put it over here on Jesus. And then he would ask the crowd, what is standing between the sinner and God? Nothing. Where's the sin? It's on Jesus. Now here's the problem. A lot of people think since that happened, and it did happen, that everyone's automatically saved. That's not true. God says, if I'm going to take your sin and put it on Jesus, then I'm going to stipulate how you get to heaven. And the stipulation is, you need to transfer your faith from yourself to what Jesus did on the cross. That's the only way that sin can be solved, is for it to be removed from us and placed on Jesus as our substitute. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord knows how to do search and rescue. We're thankful for our first responders. Jesus did search and rescue. He searched out the maniac of Gadara. He searched out the woman at the well. He searched out Zacchaeus. He searched out Nicodemus. The Apostle Paul says that he was apprehended by Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you have been apprehended by a patrolman on the highway. I won't ask you. But you all know what happens when you see the light going off behind you. Your foot lifts off the accelerator, puts on the brake. At least it's me. But you know, it's possible to be apprehended by a policeman in a good way. Let's go back 50 years when we don't have weather reports like we do now. And let's say there's a flood. And let's say a bridge is washed out. You guys know all about floods here in this area this year. And that's years ago, and you're heading down the road, and it's dark, and the policeman knows the bridge is out, so he puts on his light, and he apprehends you before you go over the bridge. That's what Jesus did to you and me if you're saved. He caught up with you. What do they call police cars? They call them interceptors. You can't go to heaven unless you've been intercepted by Jesus, because we're all cruising down the road, and this day and age, we think everything's a bowl of cherries, and young people think they're bulletproof. You know, praise God, every once in a while, Jesus intercepts somebody, and they get born again. The Lord knows how to perfect His people through the Word, through the Holy Spirit. And then you know that verse in Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. You get sharper by being around Christians who are sharper than you are. Dad raised corn, tomatoes, and sugar beets. Now, I'm sure the technology is better than it was then. But you know what a grain of corn is. How big a grain of corn is. And back in the day, corn planters could plant the corn this far apart, and that was great. But back in the day, I don't know how it is now. Don't come up to me afterwards and say it's all different. It probably is. But back in the day, sugar beet seed was so small, they didn't have the technology to drop it every 8 inches, and they had to plant it solid. Dad had 5 boys. We would thin the sugar beets with Dad. We'd take our hose and go out there and take... So the sugar beets would be this far apart or so. Now, we'd do that in the morning, come back and eat lunch, dinner. It's dinner at noon for us. I don't know what it is for you. It's dinner. We ate dinner at 11:30. And then afterwards, Dad would get my brother's out there, and he'd take our hose and he'd sharpen our hose before we went back to the field that afternoon. How could he do that? His file was sharper than our hoe. There are Christians in here that are sharper than you are. And if you hang around them, they'll sharpen you up. But the next time things go wrong and you stay at home because you're feeling bad, and you have a pity party, you light up the candles and feel sorry for yourself, you're not going to get any sharper. But if you come around here, and I'm sure it's here in this church as it was in our church, there are people who have gone through incredible issues in life, and they've come through them praising the Lord. And if you'll hang around them, they'll help you as well. The Lord knows how to use human instruments. He used Naaman's maid, right? Naaman, the Syrian general, makes a raid on Israel, takes a little teenage girl captive. But the general's got leprosy. The teenage girl is on the job. She says, "General, if you're back home in my country, there's a preacher there that could heal you." And the general believes the girl. And the king of Syria believes the girl. And the general goes and gets healed because there was a human instrument there. Andrew reached his brother, the maniac of Gadara, went back to his family. Jesus said, "I'll build my church," but he does it through human instruments. D.L. Moody said this, on his purpose of starting Moody Bible Institute. Quote, to raise up a class of men and women who will visit from house to house and reach the non-church goer. Wow. I know all the fellows in here, probably a lot of you ladies, have said this a time or two. A project comes up, unexpected, around the house, barn, garage, whatever. And you say this, if I just had the right tool, I could fix this. If I just had the right tool. They didn't have tool rental places 50 years ago. Now they're all over the place. What could the Lord do if he had the right tools? What could the Lord do if he had the right tools? The Lord knows how to restore the backslidden. Did you get Jonah 2? Did you get Jonah chapter 2? How does the Lord restore backsliders? He can do it in different ways. Sometimes he does it through a preacher. That's what he did with David, right? Nathan says, you're the man. He restored David through a preacher. Sometimes the Lord doesn't use a preacher. Sometimes the Lord restores a backslider directly, like Elijah with the still small voice. Okay. Someone said 80% of the great men and women of the Bible slipped and stumbled. Sometimes God has to use strong measures to restore a backslider. That's where Jonah comes in, right? Whoa, sometimes the Lord has to get our attention pretty drastically. But Jonah chapter 2, it's... Look at what God accomplished through strong measures in Jonah's life. Jonah 1 verse 2, after he's in the fish's belly, he prays. You don't see him praying in chapter 1. Look, verse 4. Then I said, I will look again toward thy holy temple. I'll look again. That's rededication. That's revival. I'll look again. Then verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. That's revival. Verse 9. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. We don't see any thanksgiving in chapter 1. Now he's thankful. He's being revived. How did God restore him? Strong measures in and up in the ocean or the Mediterranean Sea. And then he said, I will pay that I have vowed. What's that? No doubt Jonah, earlier in his life, had vowed to put the Lord first in his life and serve him with all his heart. He had gone back on that, and so he says, now I will pay what I vowed. And then he says, salvation is of the Lord. Lord, you're the one that's going to do all this. You know what Ohio State University is, OSU? Ohio Northern, ONU. This is FBU, Fish Belly University. And he's learning a whole lot in a crash course. The Lord knows how to comfort the hurting. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was kind of like a billy club, crude billy club, used to beat off the wolves. Who's going to get comforted by the shepherd beating off the wolves? The sheep that's close to the shepherd, amen? Not the stragglers. Okay, Sherman, General Sherman marching through Georgia, burning down everything in sight. Confederate army in disarray. But there's Confederate soldiers up here in a tree, up there in a tree, up there in a tree. And who are they going to pick off? The stragglers. Who does the devil pick off? The stragglers. So just stay as close to the Lord as you possibly can. The Lord knows how to help us face an uncertain future. And of course in America it's a very uncertain future. Very uncertain. Very uncertain. And we could go into detail, but as one preacher said, he didn't feel like driving a garbage truck down the aisle. And that's about what you have to do to talk about life in America today. But the Lord knows how to help us face an uncertain future. The Apostle Paul on that boat heading for Rome as a prisoner. The storm comes up. All hope's gone. Paul tells the captain of the ship, I told you so. Remember that? I told you so. We shouldn't be out here. We're supposed to winter back there and we're... I told you we shouldn't do this. Then the Lord stands beside him and the Lord says, everyone on the ship is going to make it safe. Remember that? Everyone on the ship is going to make it safe. The prisoners, the crew, nobody's going to lose their life. The angel told the Lord. And Paul gathers the people together, says, let's get something to eat. The angel appeared to me. I believe it's going to be just like he told me. There's a message right there. I believe it's going to be just like he told me. Whoa! But then the ship wrecks. Remember that? The ship wrecks. It breaks apart. Now watch this. Watch this. The ship breaks apart. The people have heard from the Lord. Everyone's going to make it to shore. Do they say, okay, listen carefully. Do they say, the preacher said, everyone's going to make it safe to shore, even though the whole thing's breaking up. I guess I can just lay back and it'll be okay. No, what do? They swim and they grab broken boards of the ship. If you couldn't swim, you grabbed a broken board of the ship and floated to land. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? Here it is. We can face an uncertain future. The Lord's going to be with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. But you better grab onto some broken boards. And this is a real good broken board. When everything falls apart. Are you with me? When everything flies apart. I mean, when they say, when you come to church on a Sunday, the doors are locked. It's finally happened. We know your position on traditional marriage. Doors are locked. Okay, so you go to plan B. So next week, you text, get on the internet, email, call. We're going to meet at Brother Smith's barn this week, same time. Will you be at Brother Smith's barn? And then you get a call the next week. We're going to meet in Brother Jones' woods. We're going to meet in Brother Jones' woods. He volunteered his woods while it's still summertime. We won't be able to use his woods when it's snowing. So, 10 o'clock, Brother Jones' woods. Will you be there? It could happen. This is not far-fetched. Why should we believe that we're any different from Christians who have suffered around the world for decades and centuries? If we don't turn to God, it's coming here. It's coming here. Hope you'll fix your basement up, okay? Might be needed. Might be needed. The Lord knows how to help us face an uncertain future. The Lord knows how, lastly, to finish what He starts. The Lord knows how to finish what He starts. He knows how to clean up what's been ruined. 2 Peter 3, we're going to finish up here, which dovetails into the passage read in Zechariah. Second Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Then, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. That's a vivid word, right? All these things are going to be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to promise, to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. There's a company called ServPro. And ServPro has this as their motto. We will come in after your flood, after your fire damage, after your earthquake, after your tornado, after your hurricane, and after we get done, it'll be just like it never even happened. I doubt that. But when King Jesus comes back, it'll be just like it never even happened. All of the misery that Satan and the human race has brought upon this earth. The Lord knows how. The Lord knows how. The question is, do you know how? Do you know how to connect to Him? It's through repentance and faith, turning your life over to Christ, trusting in Him as your Savior, and then walking with Him each day. The problem is, Satan puts up a battle, and the world is so alluring. In 1849, a party of 30 attempt a shortcut to the California gold fields. They enter a valley in southeast California, about 140 miles long, 10 miles wide. Temperature gets up to 134. Less than 2 inches of rain per year. Sandstorms last for several hours. Out of that party of 30, 18 survived. Afterwards, one of the 18 looked back on that trip and said, "That's Death Valley. But here's the problem. The mountain ranges on either side are bare, but brilliantly colored." Oh, that's so beautiful over there. That's so beautiful over there. This phone, I can do so much on this phone. I'm not against phones. This computer, I can do so much with this computer. I can check if somebody's at my door 50 miles away through my phone. And the latest movie and the latest gadget and the latest iPad. I'm not against that stuff. I'm just saying it's so bright and it's so distracting. We're moving through Death Valley. I've often said at funerals, America's one of the most dangerous places in the world to live. If you lived in Zambia, I mean, what was your entertainment? Looking up at the stars. It'd be good if Americans got their entertainment from looking up at the stars and thinking there must be a creator. The Lord knows how. Do you know how? To be saved by transferring your trust from how good you are to Jesus who died in your place and rose again. Do you know how to be restored, be revived? It's to repent of your sin. Say, "Lord," just like the spiritual says, it's not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Brother Jim.